Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Deuteronomy 34. I'm going to preach a word called "The Season Has Changed." I was preaching out of a series that I was putting together called Planted. And so many people have come and said something to me, texted me, called me to communicate just how powerful that series was in their life and what they needed to hear. So if you haven't caught any of those, you can go back and watch them on our live stream platforms that we have. The recorded tonight, the season has changed. Let's take a look at what that means and what God's saying to us tonight. Chapter 34, verse 5. I'm going to read quite a bit here. If you get to where you need to sit down, just go ahead and sit down. But we want to stand as tradition here for the reading of the word. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him, talking about God the Father. The Father buried him. It's quite incredible. In Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Continuing on, book of Joshua, chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6, "Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it night, day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will have then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Father, come speak to us tonight. You put this on my heart. So Lord, would you help me communicate? I need an anointing, God, to share what it is you've put deep down inside me. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. For indeed, there's many people here, the season has changed. And there's some in the next days or weeks, they'll experience something similar. We need to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So glad you're here with me tonight. to hear this timely word. The Lord, I know it's a timely word because the Lord dropped it in my heart and has confirmed it more than once to share this. This season has changed, not just for Joshua, but for all of Israel. And there's some principles here that I believe the Lord wants us to hear about walking, moving on, moving into the future with confidence after a life change has taken place. I don't know if you've ever experienced life changes. It's kind of normal for everybody. I remember a few times, my wife and I were recounting them today, and there's been five major significant life moments where everything turned a different direction. One of the ones for us, it might be different for you, but one of the things that happened to us was in 2011, I was doing my normal children's ministry role there on the island of Maui, and I was playing a sports on a Sunday morning. I was doing some sports things with the kids, and I had a sports accident, and I couldn't walk for 18 months. Right then, in an instant, I fractured two bones, tore my ACL, shredded my meniscus, and partially tore my PCL, all in 1 second. Life drastically changed for my kids, who were young. They turned into caretakers right away. They had to get me to therapy 90 times. 90 therapy sessions so that I could walk again. Multiple procedures on my knee. Whatever was on the calendar just stopped. There's not going to be any vacation. We can't get on an airplane. What are we going to do here? Everything stopped because this accident happened. Wasn't expected on our part. I sure didn't sign up for it. You ever have those talks with yourself? I didn't sign up for this. You ever have some of those? My mother and I often recount very challenging scenarios that we've been through, and one of the phrases that we'll say to each other is, I didn't sign up for this. And I know you've experienced some of those too. And I could go on down the line. But tonight I want you to hear that we can move into the future with confidence when there's a massive life change that takes place. And you might be experiencing one. Maybe you're walking through one. Maybe you're looking to move forward out of one. Whatever place you might be tonight on that timeline, God has a word from you, from Joshua. Joshua faced a new season without Moses. His mentor was gone. His leader. He didn't just take a break and he's going to come back in a few weeks. He wasn't coming back. All the processes changed. All the things, all the rhythms that Joshua was used to, it changed. Suddenly came to a halt, and he's in charge now. Moses is not there to just take over and fix it and make it all better, to call on God and release miracles. Now he has to be that guy. Overwhelming pressure. 2 million plus people wandering in the desert it's now on his shoulders. It was on Moses. He was just the assistant. Moses is not there anymore. Joshua isn't Moses. Have you ever taken the place of someone who was very successful at what they did and you took their place because they're no longer in that role? Oh, I've done that. Have you ever had people say things to you like, it was better the way we used to do it? I'll never forget, I was 23 years old. I know I still look it, but I'm not 23 anymore. I know my superb physique will fool you. But I had joined the team in Maui and I was a young staff member. And I remember my mentor was Pastor Brian Reynolds, and he was the guy. Him and his amazing wife, Pastor Kelly, they were our mentors, supervisors, and they had won national awards as children's pastors. Plaques on their wall, certificates, and they had been in that role. They had a large team. They were ministering to hundreds and hundreds. I think the average number of children on a Sunday morning was 400 to 500 kids on a Sunday morning. And here I am, I'm the new guy that's just showing up. And I'm supposed to eventually walk into his shoes. And that was rough going when the people on his team suddenly realized, I'm the new guy and I'm not him. That was pretty rough on my wife and I. Had some very special things said to us. I can't share all those things, but some of them were extremely discouraging. There was a big change coming. I remember the first time that I was invited to one of Pastor Brian Reynolds' team meetings. All of his upper leaders were there, and now here I am sitting there, the kid in the room. And they all instantly knew, uh-oh, this is the next guy. You know what happened? They all resigned. Within the next few weeks, they all said, I'm feeling led by the Lord to join another team. I wonder how Joshua felt. I'm just giving you a little picture of me and a small ministry to children there on Maui and then the team. What about Joshua? I wonder what kinds of things was said to him. I wonder what kind of things were whispered. And is Joshua true? Oh, we really want Moses back. Oh, it's Joshua. We got Joshua. I wonder what kinds of things were said, because he wasn't Moses. If Joshua doesn't move into the role, into this new role, the whole nation's going to be affected by it. Joshua has to lead. Somebody has to lead through these, navigate through these big changes that have just happened. And this story gives us insight into new seasons. You might be experiencing some new seasons in your life. I remember when my young kids started turning into teenagers. That's a whole new season. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My wife and I are into new seasons in our marriage. Anybody have new seasons happen in marriage? Yeah, new seasons in marriage. New seasons when you have a loved one that's no longer here, or you have a health turn of someone that's in your family and now you're a caregiver. There's a new season that's upon you. Those are some of our seasons that my wife and I are in as well. New seasons. We can move with confidence into new seasons. And I want to show you why that is by looking at Joshua's story. It's so encouraging. Would you take a look with me? Joshua 1, take a look at verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. The Lord is speaking to Joshua, and he tells him, the time of grieving is past. It's time to get up and keep going. This is really significant in the midst of a big change, because sometimes huge big changes can certainly possibly paralyze us in time, especially when something's unexpected or something has happened that's left you with responsibility that you wasn't counting on. It's very easy for us to get frozen in time right when that happened and never move forward. In this passage here, God is not God in speaking to Moses here is not in any way lessening the grieving process. He's not saying to him, get over it. You should have known this is coming. Get on down the road. That's not what he's saying to him. The reason we read the end of Deuteronomy is so that you could see that the time of weeping and mourning was over. And it was time for Joshua to move on. If he doesn't move on, the entire nation is going to be affected. Every person under his leadership will be held back from the destiny that God has for them because Joshua's frozen in time or is afraid to make a decision. That's why the Lord is saying to him, okay, the grieving time is over. Now get everybody up. Yes, you're going to miss Moses. Yes, it's not going to be the same as it used to be, but you're going to have to keep going. And that's what the first thing is here in, for us, is we can't get wrapped up in or paralyzed by or frozen in a specific moment that can certainly do that in our life. God didn't skip the mourning time, but he allowed the mourning time to take place. And for us, it might be different for different types of changes that have taken place. And it's an important part of big changes, especially if you've lost a loved one. You've got to take time and process, and there's an important time called the grieving time. It's a part of living. It's a part of life. But there comes a moment where we have to say, okay, I'm going to have to move forward. And for Joshua, time had come. It's time to move on. Time to get past all that's happened. God doesn't want them camping out and mulling over changes and losses, which can certainly happen. Life isn't over, and that's a great thing. God coming to them and saying, okay, let's get up. Let's go on down the road. It's time to go. God is communicating to them, there's a bigger story taking place here, and you're a part of it. It's not over. Moses is gone, that part has ended, but the story's not over. Leads me to the second thing. So the first one is, when the grieving process has ended, we have to get up and get going. The second part, verses 3, 4, and 5. Take a look at this, Joshua chapter 1. I will give you every place where you set your foot, As I promised Moses. It's important that you see that part there. I'm going to come back to why that is in just a second. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river. And he's reminding him, verse 5, no one will be able to stand up for you. Look at that. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know what God's doing here? He's telling him who the main character in the story is. It's not Moses. It's God. And he isn't left. Life has changed. God didn't leave. The one who brought the story about, the one who brought the promises, the one who made the promises, the one that's done all the miracles, he hasn't left, Joshua. And he's going to be with you just like he was with Moses. And the same is true for you and I. Life may have enormous changes, very challenging changes. I am not lessening changes at all. I've been through some very hard changes myself. Hey, I got to share one with you. My wife and I were pregnant. I wasn't actually pregnant. It was my wife, but you know, we kind of do things together. And she had about 6 months to go. And we had three little ones in our house. So number four is in process. And I heard the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me to register for business classes. So I registered for four online college business classes. That's a full load. For those of you that have been to college, you know what I'm talking about. And not long after I had registered for these classes, class was about to begin, my wife starts unusual bleeding. We didn't quite know what was going on here, so we took her to the doctor. And the doctor says to us, if you want to keep this baby, your wife is going to not move for the next 6 months. Whoa. 6 months of bed rest. How am I going to do this? I got three little ones at home, and now I'm registered for these classes. And oh, on top of it, on top of those things, Dr. Morocco doubled my workload. How exciting. Wow. Life suddenly took a turn when my wife is not allowed to even get out of bed. Whew, that was a rough one. I don't want to do that again. There's more to that story, and it's a lot of fun. And there's some laughs that go along with it. But we've had some major life moments where it's like, okay, everybody stop. Everything else is on hold. This is now the direction we're moving in. God reminds Joshua who the main character is, who his strength is, and who made the promises that they've been chasing. It was God. The promises were not from Moses. They were from God. That's an important part to realize in this story, because they could certainly camp out on this thought. Moses said we were going to do all these great things, milk and honey. Moses said all these things. Moses, Moses, Moses. God is redirecting that and saying, I'm the one that told Moses to do that. And now I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Who's the main character? Yeah, God's the main character. And he's the main character in your life. Through every change and every season, he's the main character. God hasn't left. Moses did. It was a God vision, not a Moses vision. God's saying to Joshua in this little section of the story, keep your eye on the real story that's happening. There's a bigger picture. It's God's unfolding plans. They are taking place. Be reminded of the promises. So the next thing, take a look at the next thing that it speaks clearly to us. And it's what God says to Joshua three times. I hope it's familiar to you. I hope it's something you've read multiple times. But let's take a look. It's in verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Three times God speaks to him and says, be strong and courageous. Do you think he was talking about physical strength? You know, go out there and be strong. I don't think he was talking about that. I think he was talking about something inside Joshua. A strength inside him. A decision that he was going to have to make to be strong in the face of adversity. To be the one out front, even if it feels like it's all falling apart. Be the one that's willing to lead the parade. Be strong and courageous. There was an internal thing that God was speaking to. Be courageous. Do you know when you have to be courageous? When you're afraid to do something. Nobody has to be courageous when they're not afraid to do anything. So what is God saying to Joshua? I know you're afraid to do this. Be courageous. I know this is new for you. Be courageous. Be strong. Don't fear. Tells him these words. Inside Joshua, there must have been something that was really frail. And it gives me hope because I feel like that sometimes. Because sometimes there's things that happen inside of me that just make me feel like, ooh, is the world going to fall apart right now? I'll just give you a couple examples. I have had the wonderful privilege of leading large events. And when my wife and I were living on Maui, and even here, we've done a few here, but when we lived on Maui, we're the children's pastors there, and a couple of times a year, we would do large community-wide events where I would stand on a stage in front of thousands of people, and not only was I responsible to direct and keep everyone safe, and there's people moving everywhere. I mean, it's really a challenge, like a big Easter egg hunt. Have you ever helped at one of our Easter egg hunts? It's been a while since we did one. I think we're doing one coming up in April. But then I have to walk out on the stage. You know, I've done this in that type of setting probably 250 to 300 times. You think I would get comfortable with that. But I don't. If you could see me standing behind the stage, my hands are shaking because it's not something I'm comfortable doing. My knees are shaking. I have a hard time breathing. I've done it a lot. I've preached to tens of thousands of kids, but yet something there's inside me. I have to walk out there and be courageous. It's a personal decision. And the Lord is saying to Joshua, in this season, you're going to have to make a decision to be courageous in the face of being afraid. You could be overwhelmed, Joshua, if you don't choose to be courageous. You could be overwhelmed with fear and the pressures, and you're not Moses, and all the things that can come along. I mean, look back at the things Moses had to deal with. What did he have to deal with most in his tenure as the leader? Complainers. Who wants to be Joshua? Not me. Oh, no, all these complainers. Now I got to listen to them. Now I got to discipline them. Now I got to call fire down from heaven. Be strong, Joshua. And courageous. Three times. Be confident. It seems as though maybe the greatest challenge to this whole scenario wasn't that Moses was gone. It was that Joshua needed to be confident. Maybe that was the real greatest challenge of all. Because he told him three times. Last thing. So first, God tells Joshua, hey, the grieving's over. You're going to have to keep going. The second thing is God reminds Joshua who the main character is in the story. Who made all those promises? Oh, yeah, it was God, and he hasn't left. And then he tells him, be strong and courageous. The last thing, if you're writing notes, write this down. Keep the word out in front. Keep the word out in front. Take a look at these scriptures here. Let's look at verse 7. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. There's some things in the way the Lord says here that I don't want you to miss. The first thing I want to point out here is he's telling them what should be going on in his mind. Remember, he's got some expert people in the children of Israel that are really good at swaying a crowd. We've already seen some of them. Pushing their own propagandas, trying to get Moses in his day to make decisions this way, that way. And the Lord's saying to Joshua, keep the word out in front of you, not what's popular among the people of Israel, not what they think you should do, not what the propaganda is, not what opinions are. Keep the word in front of you. Keep truth in front of you. And not just staying straight ahead on the truth, but that's what God's saying should be coming out of his mouth. What should be coming out of his mouth? Oh, I wish Moses was here. No. Oh, it was so much easier when Moses was here. No, God says, no, that's not what needs to be coming out of your mouth. Whining, complaining because things were better the way they used to be. No, not allowed. You're not going to be doing that, Joshua. Joshua, let me tell you what should be coming out of your mouth. We read it. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. The promises of God should be coming out of us at a time of hard course change and uncertainty, discouragement, potential frozen in time because something has so drastically changed. What should we say? The promises of God. It should be the promises of God, not rehearsing the situation, not saying it over and over again because it's changed everything so much. You just don't know how to move forward. The promises of God. What did God say? What did he promise? David, King David, found himself in similar situations where he was so discouraged, and the word declares he encouraged himself in the Lord. There are moments you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. There are moments in our life, especially if you've had massive changes come your way, that you're going to have to find promises in this book and say those, even if your feelings don't line up with them. You're going to have to declare what God has said. You're going to have to declare the promises of God, even in the midst of very challenging scenarios. Maybe it's a prophetic word, and you have to take that prophetic word and keep reminding it. Why is it in his mouth? Why is God so concerned about what's coming out of his mouth? Because what comes out of our mouth is the direction our life is going to go. What you believe is affected by what you say. What you declare affects what you believe. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God is telling him, keep my word out front, keep my word, meditate on it, get it down in here, and get it coming out of here, or you're not going to make it into this next season. Maybe we could say it this way. The next season is so new and so different, the only way you're going to achieve what the promises that God has for you is if the word is coming out of you. Wow, could it be that even in our own life, could it be that God is waiting for the word to perpetually start coming out of us for promises to be fulfilled? Maybe. I'm not speaking for you, speaking for me. But it could be there's promises on hold because what's coming out of me is not the word regarding those promises. Maybe I'm focusing on the big changes and all the effects and everything that I don't like about where the scenario currently is. That's easy to share, isn't it? Especially on Facebook, where you think everyone cares about your story that you're putting on there. That one was for free. Keep the word. Meditate on it day and night. Because Joshua, you're going to depend on it. And so is every person that you're affecting. All those that are under your influence. Their destiny. All the people you're connected to. Their destiny is going to hinge on what comes out of you. What a thought. What are the numbers on that? Well, it's at least 2 million people and all of their livestock and all their little ones. Their destiny is hinged on Joshua moving forward. One person could get stuck and affect all of them. So Joshua, get up and move. Get going. Joshua, remember, I'm the one that's helping you. Joshua, keep the word coming out of you. Remind yourself of my promises. Remind yourself of my commands. And don't give up. Be strong and courageous. The Lord's speaking to us those very things. You might be facing some big changes. Maybe you have lost a loved one. In my house, we lost my precious stepdad just over a year ago. It was a life change, especially for my mother. Mom, you might be on right now. It's a life change. Still walking through some process. That's a big change for my mom. Maybe you've had a change in the support system. Maybe there's a big change in your children. And many of you brought your youth tonight. How many of you have a youth in your house? Yeah. Hey, me too. What a wild ride. Guess what? They're never turning back into those little kids again. They're turning into something else. It's you. Wow, that's a big change when your kids are not little kids anymore. Feelings. Hormone changes for the boys and the girls, and growth changes, and now all of a sudden they like the way this person looks beautiful. That didn't happen when they were six. Right? Oh, yes. How many of you have a preteen? What is going on in a preteen? You know, they're my favorite age group. I love preteens. 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, I love them. And somehow, God's given me some special gifting to minister life to them. I don't understand it. But that's a big change. To have kids start becoming teenagers, maybe seasons of marriage. I mentioned it before. Seasons of marriage. It's a real thing. Health changes. I already mentioned these, but you might be facing some of these. And I want to take time to pray for you. Minister Toby, if you would come. You are going to make it. You are going to make it. God, the one who's given you all those promises, he's the great orchestrator, and he's not leaving you. He's not turning his back on you. He's not going to abandon you, even in tremendous life changes. It doesn't change who he is. Our life changes. He doesn't change. Would you stand with me tonight? It could be that this word from the life of Joshua is specifically for you. And I don't know what that big change might be. But it's a real thing, and maybe all of life is changed. And it might be different for different people, but God will help you move to the other side and accomplish the promises. There is nothing impossible for God. He will help you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.